Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your goodness to us. Father, thank you that you've given us your word. Thank you that you speak to us in it. And Lord, we ask this morning as we look at this part of Deuteronomy, you would give us your spirit so that we would not only hear your word, but also do what it says. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. How do you feel when someone tells you the same story over and over again? How do you feel when someone tells you the same story just over and over again? Do you think to yourself, maybe this person has just forgotten that I've heard this story many, many times? Has this person lost his or her memory? I mean, if it's a good story, maybe you don't mind hearing it over and over again. I mean, there are some stories that I just love to hear my friends tell over and over again. They're good stories. But if you just hear it, a story, you know, someone just tells you that story, the same story over and over again, how do you react to that? What do you do with that? But then on the other hand, repetition can be a good thing. Repetition can be a good thing. And I'm sure the teachers who are here amongst us will talk about the value of repetition as far as reinforcing good learning, reinforcing the points that need to be made, reinforcing the things that people need to be reminded of, the things that people need to know. As we work our way through Deuteronomy, you're going to need to be prepared for repetition. You're going to need to be prepared for repetition because that's what this book is like. There are phrases that keep coming up again and again and again. There are events that keep getting referred to again and again and again. The same commands keep on turning up again and again and again. That's what Deuteronomy is like. Now remember, this is the second speech in Deuteronomy. This is the section that we're in, chapter 5 through to chapter 28. And in Deuteronomy 5, Moses reminded the Israelites of how they heard the Ten Commandments on Mount Horeb. They saw the fire, but that was all they saw. They heard the voice, God speaking to them, the Ten Commandments. And the Israelites were so afraid of hearing the word of God coming out to them from the fire that they asked Moses, "You go up instead of us, listen to God for us, and then come back and tell us what God said, because we're too afraid to listen to God." And so this is what they were too afraid to hear. Chapter 6 and the things that follow were the things that the Israelites were too afraid to hear from the voice of God and got Moses to go up there instead and then report back to them what God said. Well, let's have a look at the first three verses of Deuteronomy chapter 6. These are the commands, decrees, and laws the Lord your God directed me to teach you to observe in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess, so that you, your children, and their children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live, by keeping all his decrees and commands that I give you, and so that you may enjoy long life. Hear, O Israel, and be careful to obey, so that it may go well with you, and that you may increase greatly in a land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of your fathers, promised you. Moses introduces this section as what God has commanded them to do when they go into the promised land, the land that they will possess, the land that God promised on oath to their fathers. And the result of this is fearing the Lord and living long in the land. And to fear God is to keep his commandments. And this fear carries on through their generations, to the sons' sons, and the sons' sons' sons. If they obey it, it will go well with them, and they will grow in numbers. And this is in accordance with what God spoke to their fathers. These verses are the transition between the end of chapter 5 and what's going to come in verses 4 and following. So let's have a look at that section, verses 4 to 9, as Moses speaks about the importance of loving God. Verses 4 to 9. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. Verse 4 is the classic statement of Israelite monotheism, Israelite belief. It's a statement about the uniqueness of the Lord. The Lord alone is truly God. There is only one God, and his name is the Lord. It's a restatement of the first commandment. You shall have no other gods before me. Verse 5 is the command to love. And this love encompasses all of life, everything you are, all your heart, all your life, all your soul, all your strength. It's complete devotion to the Lord God. Did you notice the central place that loving God is to have in the life of the Israelite? It's something that they must teach their children, to impress it upon them. It's their topic of conversation everywhere, all of life, at home, on the road, all the time, lying down, getting up. It goes with you wherever you go, on your hands, on your foreheads. It's in your house. It's in your city. It's on the door frames of your house. It's on the gates of the city. It's everywhere. Now, unless you've been living under a rock for the past 6 weeks, you can't have missed that there was an election campaign. Sure, you might have been aggressively uninterested in the campaign, but it would have taken a great deal of denial to miss that there was an election campaign on. There was an advertising campaign. It was everywhere. Everywhere you look, it's there. Turn on the TV, it's there. Listen to the radio, it's there. And if you don't watch TV or listen to the radio, you go to work. People at work are talking about it. People are talking about it at home. You just can't escape it. Imagine instead that there was a God campaign. God everywhere. I mean, yeah, God's everywhere. You know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about a different God is everywhere. That's a bit like what these verses are talking about. All of life is a reminder to love God. Of course, you'll remember that Jesus quoted these verses when he was asked about the commandments. That was today's New Testament reading. So is that what your life is like? Loving God with everything. Is your life filled with reminders to love God? You could write it on your hand, although, you know, school teachers say, don't write things on your hands, that's bad. You could tie it on your wrist. You could talk about it with friends. You could talk about it with others, so on and so on. There are many ways that our lives can be filled with reminders to love God. In reading the Bible, in prayer, as you go to Bible study and talk to other people about God. Some people I know have Bible verses on top of their computer monitor, because they spend a lot of time in front of their computer monitor. So they've got a verse there to remind them about something as far as how they're to live or what God is like. Perhaps you might have a verse next to the speedo on your car to help remind you how you are to drive, to help remind you how you are to live. Perhaps you might have a reminder on your fridge so that each time you go to the fridge to get food or whatever it is, it will remind you to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your strength. You can come to church each week where you'll be reminded to love God, to listen to his word. Moses then gives them some warnings, some commands in verses 10 to 15. Have a look at that. When the Lord your God brings you into the land he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you a land with large, flourishing cities you did not build, houses filled with all kinds of things you did not provide, wells you did not dig, and vineyards and olive groves you did not plant, then when you eat and are satisfied, be careful that you do not forget the Lord, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. Fear the Lord your God, serve him only, and take your oaths in his name. Do not follow other gods, the gods of the people around you. For the Lord your God, who is among you, is a jealous God, and his anger will burn against you, and he will destroy you from the face of the land. Moses says, don't forget the Lord. Don't forget the Lord. Well, which Lord is he talking about? Well, he says it there. The Lord is the one who rescued you from slavery. The Lord is the one who made a promise to your forefathers about the land that he would give you. The Lord is a good Lord who gives you a good land. Did you notice God is generous in giving this land? I mean, someone might be generous to you. It would be quite generous to you, actually, if someone gave you a house, right? God doesn't just give them a house. He gives them a fully furnished house. Did you see that? As he describes the land. It's got large flourishing cities. It's got houses. It's got wells. It's got vineyards. It's got olive groves. And the other thing to notice is that the Israelites had nothing at all to do with it. Did you see that refrain in verses 10 to 11? They weren't responsible for any of those things. They didn't build the houses. They didn't plant the vineyards. They didn't dig the wells. And yet they enjoyed the fruit of all that. You see, it's an example of the grace of God. It's an example of the grace of God. Sometimes people think, oh, there's no grace in the Old Testament. That's only a New Testament thing. But that's not right. There's grace in the Old Testament. You see it right here in Deuteronomy 6. And we'll see more of it next week as Gordon preaches from Deuteronomy chapter 7. This is the Lord God that they're not to forget, the one who brought them out of Egypt, the one who made a promise to their forefathers, the good Lord who gives a good land. This is the Lord that they're not to. This is the Lord God that they're not to forget. This is the Lord God they're to fear and to serve. And so they're commanded not to follow other gods. If they do, they'll be destroyed. As we've seen in chapter 4 and chapter 5 of Deuteronomy, God is a jealous God. There's repetition right there. God will not stand for any rivals. And the other thing to notice is that love and fear are not opposites. Moses commanded the Israelites to love God. Moses also commanded the Israelites to fear God, because he is the Lord. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. He's the maker of all things. He's the sustainer of all things. When we think about us as Christians, as people who live on this side of the cross, we are not to forget Jesus Christ, who rescued us from sin and from death and God's wrath. The Lord Jesus Christ, who promises to hold us, who promises to never let us go, who promises that he is with us always to the very end of the age, who indwells us by his Spirit, who gives us his grace. Him, he is the one that we're to serve. Then in the next couple of verses, Moses reminds them again to keep God's commands. Have a look at verses 16 to 19. Do not test the Lord your God as you did at Massah. Be sure to keep the commands of the Lord your God and the stipulations and decrees he has given you. Do what is right and good in the Lord's sight, so that it may go well with you and you may go in and take over the good land that the Lord promised on oath to your forefathers, thrusting out all your enemies before you, as the Lord said. Moses here refers to Massah. We're going to have a look at some verses from Exodus chapter 17, which will remind us of what happened there. The whole Israelite community set out from the desert of Sin, traveling from place to place as the Lord commanded. They camped at Rephidim, but there was no water for the people to drink. So they quarreled with Moses and said, "Give us water to drink." Moses replied, "Why do you quarrel with me? Why do you put the Lord to the test?" But the people were thirsty for water there, and they grumbled against Moses. They said, "Why did you bring us up out of Egypt to make us and our children and livestock die first?" Then Moses cried out to the Lord, "What am I to do with these people? They are almost ready to stone me." The Lord answered Moses, "Walk on ahead of the people. Take with you some of the elders of Israel and take in your hand the staff with which you struck the Nile and go. I will stand there before you by the rock at Horeb. Strike the rock and water will come out of it for the people to drink." So Moses did this in the sight of the elders of Israel. And he called the place Massah and Meribah because the Israelites quarreled and because they tested the Lord, saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?" You see, the Israelites were asking, would the Lord God really take them into the land? Was the Lord God really with them? Was he really caring for them? They questioned God. See, remember, the whole Israelite community at this point, Exodus 17, have just come out of the Exodus. They've just crossed the Red Sea. So they've seen the plagues, they've seen the power of God, they've seen his care for them, they've seen the parting and crossing of the Red Sea. This is what Moses is warning against. Don't test the Lord like you did at Massah. Make sure that you're obedient to God. Make sure that you trust him. Be very sure to keep his commandments. They're to do what's right in the eyes of the Lord. Not what's right in their own eyes. What's right in the eyes of the Lord. Because God alone is God. Remember verse 4? And so what he says goes. They can't go around making up their own rules and expect God to bless them. No, they're to do what is right in the eyes of the Lord. And God made an oath to your forefathers, is what Moses says. God keeps his promises. Here's yet another repetition that we'll see as we go through Deuteronomy. He said that they would possess the land. He said that he would drive out their enemies. Back in Genesis 15, God promised Abraham, or Abram, as he was known at that time, that his descendants would possess the land. But the full possession wouldn't happen in his lifetime. It would be his descendants who would get the land. In the end, all Abraham had when he died was a very small burial plot at Mamre. It would be his descendants, Abraham's descendants, who would get the land of Israel. But he also said that they would be slaves in a foreign land for 400 years. See, God's promise was pretty old. That's a little bit unusual. How would you react if someone promised you a gift in 400 years' time? Can't have it now, but I promise you I'll give it to you in 400 years. How would you react to that? I'd probably think, well, I'm not going to be around here in 400 years. What good is this going to be to me? I don't think you really want to give me the gift. I don't think you really want to keep your promise. But God's promises are a bit different. See, God has a plan, which he is working out over time. Some people might argue with the length of time that God's plan is taking, but it's God's plan, so he can sort out the timing of it. God's promises go according to his timing. We much prefer now, the instantaneous, the immediate, but that's not how God works. And God's promises encompass more than just you and me. You and I aren't the center of God's plan. Jesus Christ is the center. And God keeps his promises and he keeps his plan. Then in the next section of today's passage, Moses reminds them again to teach the children. Have a look at the last section for today, verses 20 to 25. In the future, when your son asks you, "What is the meaning of the stipulations, decrees, and laws the Lord our God has commanded you?" tell him, "We were slaves of Pharaoh in Egypt, but the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. Before our eyes, the Lord sent miraculous signs and wonders, great and terrible, upon Egypt and Pharaoh and his whole household. But he brought us out from there to bring us in and give us the land that he promised on oath to our forefathers. The Lord commanded us to obey all these decrees and to fear the Lord our God, so that we might always prosper and be kept alive, as is the case today. And if we are careful to obey all this law before the Lord our God, as he has commanded us, that will be our righteousness. Moses lays out a bit of a what-if for them, a hypothetical scenario. Well, it's not so hypothetical. Your son asks you a question about God's commands. How do you reply? Well, he tells them, this is what you say. He says to tell them what they were. He tells them to say what God did. And he tells them to say, what is God's blessing? Did you notice the repetition in there? There's a reminder of the Exodus. We used to be slaves. That's what we were. We were slaves in Egypt under Pharaoh. And they saw God's power, signs and wonders as the Lord delivered them out of Egypt. They saw the plagues. They saw the parting of the Red Sea. They saw the pillar of cloud. They saw the pillar of fire. God provided them with food, with manna, and with quail. And God brought them out to fulfill God's promise, to bring them into the land promised to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And so the Lord commands them to obey and fear him, and when you do, you'll be blessed. That's what the Israelites were to teach their children. We have a similar story. We were slaves of sin and death. But God set us free from them through the life and death and resurrection of his Son, our Lord, Jesus Christ. We receive forgiveness of sins and life with God when we put our trust in Christ. This is what we're to teach the children. The New Testament story, the Old Testament story, and how the Old Testament story points us to the New Testament story. Is this what we're teaching children? Are you someone who is teaching children? There are lots of opportunities to do that sort of thing. If you have children of your own, if you have grandchildren, the commands that Moses gives to Israel in Deuteronomy 6 includes the grandchildren. We have a Sunday school here. You can teach there. There's scripture in local schools. Lots and lots of opportunities to teach children the Old Testament story, the New Testament story, and how the Old Testament story points us to Jesus Christ, our New Testament story. Love God. Don't forget him. Fear him and keep his commandments. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you've shown your love to us. Father, we thank you for the love that you showed the Israelite nation. We thank you for the love that you've shown us in the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, thank you for giving us your commandments. Father, thank you that you teach us how we are to live. Father, we pray that you would help us to love you with all our heart and with all our soul and with all our strength. Father, we pray that you would help us to teach children these great truths. We pray that you would write your laws on our hearts. Father, we pray that you would help us to trust in the Lord Jesus, that we would be always reminded of our great story that you have written for us in the Lord Jesus. We ask these things in his name. Amen. We have a